A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You are listening to Preconceived, where we examine the preconceptions that shape how we view the world and the paradigms by which we live our lives.
Hey everybody, I'm Zale Mednick, and welcome to another episode of Preconceived. Work-life balance is a common phrase, a buzzword even, that refers to the way we find balance in our professional lives and personal lives. The goal for many is to achieve an equilibrium, where we devote sufficient time to each of our work, family, and personal lives without letting one domain dominate the other too much. But is work-life balance truly attainable in the ways most of us think of it? Should we be focused on balancing all aspects of our lives at once? Or is it natural to think that that balance be more heavily weighted towards certain domains at different time points in our lives? I'm joined today by Dave McNeff. Dave is a thought leader, executive coach, high-profile jury trial consultant, profiling expert, workshop facilitator, author, and keynote speaker. A former collegiate athlete fascinated with peak performance, he founded Peak Consulting Group in 1995 to develop executive talent and bolster performance of executive team dynamics for companies all over the world. Important to today's conversation, he is the author of The Work-Life Balance Myth. Dave, thanks so much for joining me. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Sam. Appreciate it very much.
So we are going to talk about a lot of the themes in your book, The Work-Life Balance Myth. And before we talk about your approach to it, I'm curious what you think the general kind of traditional viewpoint is that people have when they think about work-life balance.
Perfect question to kind of start us off today. So the work-life balance thinking process has been in the work I've done with clients on this, which is where the book came out. It came out of all the work I was doing with individual executives who, under tremendous stress, and quote, I have terrible work-life balance. What they were trying to say is, I can't balance how much work I do and how much time it takes with what's more important to me, which is my family. So I don't want it to be imbalanced, but it is. I'm spending all my time, all my stress is here in my professional life, whereas in my family life, the people I love, the people that mean the most to me, I'm there minutes and hours a day, whereas at work, I'm there 10, 8, 12 hours a day. And the title of the book, The Myth, which is the critical part, was when I first started to explain that the myth is there is no balance. The professional slice of our lives appears to dominate most of our daylight hours. Therefore, we're home for far fewer. There's no balance, but you can seek harmony. So if I could summarize the book in one word, it's the difference between balance and harmony. The myth is there is no balance. The reality is we can have harmony in ourselves if we learn how what the other parts of our lives are that can help us feel like our whole lives are in a harmonious ring as opposed to a totally imbalanced time management problem.
That's a really important distinction there between balance and harmony. So when people think of balance, do you think they're thinking of it purely in terms of the amount of time spent, which you're saying is kind of unrealistic to try and achieve equality in that, but harmony more so speaks to, we might not be able to have equal time spent with family and personal things as work, but we can still have the same amount of value and meaning coming from each of them.
I think it's at the end of the book the analogy is the orchestra. So some of the most beautiful pieces of music have a dozen instruments. But in the book, I think we have seven slices, not a dozen. And my example is, my analogy, you're the conductor of your life. And like in any symphony, sometimes the trumpets play and then sometimes they don't. And the violins take over and then they come back and the piano comes in and the tuba comes in and all of these instruments come in. Well, my analogy is, you're the conductor of your seven slices of your life. And they are going to ebb and flow, but they all have a part in your life. So thinking about your life in two areas only, professional and family, you'll never be able to play a symphony because you've got five other areas of your life. You have a personal life, a physical life, an emotional life, an intellectual life, and a spiritual life. And they all play parts in your life per week, maybe not per day, but certainly per week. And what people have found is if they spend minutes in those other five, they feel balanced in their quote work-life balance of life. And I go, well, you're still not balanced. You're still spending most of your time in your professional life and the rest in your family. I just want you to take like 20 minutes every other day to take a walk with your spouse so you can be in your physical and family life for 20 minutes, three times a week. I'd like you to read a book for 15 minutes before you go to bed at night and fall asleep. That's your intellectual life. I'd like you to think about meditating or praying or walking in nature for 20 minutes a week. 30 minutes a week. And what, if you do it, schedule it, in my opinion, if you put it into your calendar and your schedule, you wake up in less than 4 weeks going, you know what? I'm starting to feel like I can manage my life better. And I go, well, that's interesting. You know, what's changed? Well, I don't know. The stress level is the same at work. And it's like, oh, but you feel better? Yeah. Huh. I wonder why. So anyway, that was the point of the book.
There's an irony there as I'm listening to it, because some people might be intimidated by that on the surface because they would say, we're talking about work life and it's tough for me to balance, quote unquote, even though that might not be the best word, work and life. But now you're throwing in seven domains on how I can balance it. But from what I'm gathering, it sounds like by broadening it to seven different domains, first of all, it's more realistic because when you say work life, I mean, life encompasses so many things, but it also maybe takes the onus off of what is incorporated into life and you parse it down into those physical, emotional, spiritual, personal, family, professional, intellectual. And those are things that maybe are a little bit more actionable to incorporate into your life as opposed to just vaguely saying, I want to be better at work-life balance.
Oh, you nailed it. I mean, remember, when you talk with anyone in your life who's stressed out, right? They will say, oh, work, it's incredible. We're under so much stress. My kids are sick. My parents need help. Every day I can't escape this pressure. And someone like me shows up and goes, well, do you ever talk about those feelings with anyone? Friend, counselor, your family members? No. I mean, nobody's got time. Okay. Do you do anything physical at all? I don't have time. I just told you work, family is taken. Okay. And I just walk through those other five slices and there's zero time. By definition, if you don't, it seems to me, and I guess I always thought everyone thought this until I learned they didn't. These other five areas of our lives seem to me to be directly there to help manage stress. Mm. They're free, doesn't cost anything. It just takes time and a little discipline to spend time in them. So people, you know, executives, when I first started working with them, were so stressed out, they didn't know what a personal life is. Well, what's my personal life? And I go, it's what you do just for you. That has nothing to do with anyone else. What do you do just for you? I don't understand. Forward again. And I would go, okay, I get it. Do you have a hobby? No. Do you read much? No. Do you invest any time in nonprofit, voluntary? No. And I would just click through everything you would do in your personal life that makes you feel good. I go, well, you're missing a personal life. Why don't we start with minutes per week in a personal effort? And all of a sudden, that actually felt pretty good. Like, okay. Intellectual life. What do you mean? So I have found that as kids, we all grew up with our parents teaching us about these seven slices, not in those words. And then once each of us hit whatever level of success we recognize as being, oh, I'm suddenly a little successful, then we'd all decided to spend all of our time trying to be successful. And then making a commitment to get married and have a family, because that's life. I'm going to work, and my life is just my family. And then lo and behold, I show up and go, oh, no. You got five other areas. What are you doing in those five other areas? And the physical one was the most common, because most of the people I first started working with were in their mid-40s, and half of them had stopped all forms of exercise. I'm too busy, I don't have time, the kids, the work. I go, how long does a 15-minute walk take around your neighborhood? Come home, hug and kiss everybody and say, I'll be right back in 15 minutes. How hard is that? Well, what is that? Well, that could be your physical and personal life. If you walk alone, you're doing it for you, for your own benefit, and you're helping your body stay in shape. And of course, what happens is your brain, which works all the time, we know from research, if it's on 24/7, why don't you fill it with things beyond work and family? If you tell the brain to think, they'll think. You know, the brain will take you on your way. So put a pause button there, but that's why work-life balance, to me, is a myth. You're thinking about it wrong.
It's almost like when we say work-life balance, I said this in the introduction, it's kind of just a buzzword that a lot of us say, but it's, as you're explaining it there, it's kind of like most of us, unless you're proactively thinking about it, we don't actually necessarily know what that life part is. It's kind of like we have work and then life is just everything else. And it's easy to fall into that trap where you say, I'm trying to find work-life balance, but what does that really mean? Does it mean just work less, but then are you actively focusing on what you're going to fill your life with things that are tangible and things that are, you can put on a schedule and make sure you're doing, or does it then just mean I'm going to not work less, but then once you have that extra time, you're not really proactively spending that life part, and having those separate domains helps you focus a little more goal-oriented and probably helps somebody become a little more actionable about what they're going to do with that personal life.
I think so. And this would be a totally unfair question to ask you, but I asked this question because of my business career. Hey, Zale, tell me a little bit about your life. And 90% of the people look at me, they laugh, they chuckle, I go, well, what do you mean? That's the answer. What do you mean? I mean, like my family or my friend, what do you want? I go, I don't care. Tell me about your life. What is it all about? What is it that makes up your life? And of course, what I'm listening for are the other five slices. I know you have a job. I know you have a family. Now I want to know about your life. What do you think about? What do you dream about? What do you do outside of work? And on, which are all located in those other five slices.
On the one hand, it sounds obvious. On the other hand, I think a lot of people probably could definitely relate to struggling with an answer to that question, because, and that's what Preconceived is all about. The preconception, so to speak, is that, you know, we know what our life is, we know what we're about, but when push comes to shove, what are we doing with our spare time? What do we really want to do? And maybe just pausing and reflecting and figuring that out will actually lead to us engaging with that more.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
I want to ask you a little bit about time management. Because you mentioned earlier in the conversation that it doesn't have to be that you're incorporating each of these seven elements in what you call the seven slice method every day. You're not telling somebody every day you need to have professional, family, personal, physical, intellectual, emotional, spiritual aspects to your life. This can be spread out over a week. This can be spread out over a month. This can even be spread out over a year. Do you think that a lot of people don't partition their time in that way mentally, and that they think it all needs to be achieved at once?
The answer is yes. What I have found, there are people who are natural planners. You know, these are people who wake up in the morning and they have a plan for every plan. So they take right to this method, like immediately. I'm going to put it in my schedule and it's all said and done. The majority of us live life in the moment. Meaning, I'll get to it. Today's really packed. I'll get to it tomorrow. And tomorrow and tomorrow. It's why people slowly drift out of these five slices. People keep wait for a spontaneous moment to occur where I feel like doing something intellectual or emotional or spiritual. I know it'll happen. And when it does, I'll do it. But the problem is time. If your time is packed without discipline, you're never going to get to those five slices. There's never going to be a moment or a day where you go, now I'm going to get focused on it. So what I have found is most people require thought to make meaning. I have to decide which one of those five I'm going to do this week. And even if they don't write it down, they put it in their mental checklist. I'm going to go to the bookstore and buy a book and read it this week. I am going to exercise on Tuesday and Thursday afternoon. They mentally make a decision to do it. The problem is distractions, crises, other problems that come out of our professional and family lives steal back those decisions. So my experience, even with people who are in real crises that I write about in the book. In fact, a woman I bumped into her about 6 months ago, she said, I've really got to get back into the seven slices. Now, these seven slices saved her, just rescued her from this wildly crisis moment of her life. The crisis went away, and so did the other five slices. So I think it's human nature to just drift away and focus on what's right in front of me in the moment, which is why this method is, though easy to do, like literally it's not that hard, it's hard to mentally commit to it. It's hard.
I went to a talk several years ago, and there were several speakers, and one of them was talking about this idea of work-life balance a little bit differently, but somewhat in the same vein. And granted, what I'm about to say is unfeasible and impractical for most people. But what he said was, he agreed work-life balance isn't a real thing. And he said, the way I operate is I will spend a couple of months where I am in dad mode and husband mode, where I am really, really just at home, not doing any work, and I'm very present. And then there's a couple months where I'm working on a project and I am AWOL. And they know I'm AWOL. I've told them in advance that I'm going to be AWOL, but I am not a good dad and husband in those moments because that's how I've decided to partition my time. And he said, he kind of likened it to multitasking. If you're multitasking, you're often not going to be as effective at one task as you could be if you were just focused solely on that task. Now, that's a very extreme example, but it was fascinating to me because that's a very different approach to life and time management. Have you encountered people like that or situations where that is a feasible strategy or something we can learn a lesson from?
A small percentage of I've bumped into people who have done that. Not exactly that, but have made a commitment. This, you know, in the winter, I'm going to be all about the family. We're going to do this and do that and the other thing. Oh, great. Here's my life experience with that. And I'll pose this as a question because I posed it to them. So when the winter's over and the spring is sprung, and now you go back to whatever you now, the project, the work, whatever, how do those people feel, you know, in your family as you exit? Doesn't it undo everything you just built? Doesn't it unravel? Now, if you're going to do it again, you've got to start from scratch. Why wouldn't you try to look at these seven areas of your life and realistically decide how much time you can afford to spend in all seven, and just try and stick to it to build a consistent life pattern where the reward, apparently, the people claim, is harmony and a sense of balance. Isn't that the goal? We'd like to have a sense of balance and actually live in harmony with ourselves. Because if I'm not in harmony, how am I going to be in harmony with you? I mean, how does that work exactly? So I think the pick up and put down is like Coca-Cola. It tastes great while I'm drinking it. And then, of course, I get a headache later from all the sugar. So it's great in the moment, but then the good feeling goes away. And so, no, I think that's a slippery slope. I think it's a short-term fix that creates a long-term consequence.
Yeah. At the time, I thought, wow, this is super cool. And then I thought, well, it's pretty impractical in terms of, I mean, are you going to have a partner who supports that kind of lifestyle? And the way that you said that of undoing it is really interesting because in your mind, you might think, wow, this is fantastic time. Great. And then I'm just going to slide back into the father role, for example, when I come back in a couple months. But you've been missing from their lives, so you don't get to necessarily slide back. What I did take from it, though, practically, was that there might be a couple weeks in your life where you know not as opposed to a couple months, but a couple weeks where, you know, I've got a really busy project and I'm going to kind of account for that in my schedule. And I'm going to say, you know what? I'm not going to be as available. I'm going to be there for some really important things over the next couple of weeks, but in preparation, maybe the month before, I'm going to try and be a little bit extra present in family stuff, or I'm going to be extra present in the other personal domains of my life that you spoke about. But there is going to be perhaps a couple week period where some of those things are not getting the time that I otherwise would have given them. And I think maybe there's some value in that and looking at your time a little bit more flexibly.
Oh, sure. And by the way, it comes often in the form of a family member, a friend is ill, and you have to stay with them for a month. You have to literally travel and take care of them. No, life happens, right? But it's sort of in relationship building, as I try to explain, you know, think of it as an account where you need to make deposits. Because there are times in our lives where we're going to have to make a withdrawal, like I'm going to be away for a month. But because I've been investing in this relationship, I can make a withdrawal and I still have a pretty good balance in our relationship account. I'm okay. The problem in relationships, and the example you used, is that's a problem. That 4 week away is a problem if I have no money in that account. There's no withdrawal available. I'm just overdrawn. And that's when relationships and families become fraught. Like, really? Another project in Louisville for 4 weeks and you can't come home? Didn't you do that 3 months ago? Yeah, well, it's not my fault, you know, my boss. But if you're not making deposits, this is how relationships break down. And then people who suffer say to me, you know, my work, I wish my family could just understand. I'm not trying to do this. I'm being told to do it. And I said, really? Well, that's your job. What about the rest of your life? Do you spend any time with them doing that? I don't really have the rest of my life. I just have my family and my work. And that's literally how this book came about.
I'm curious how the pandemic changed things in so much as the balance or the border between work and home life really blurred, in that a lot of people work from home now and started working from home. I'm curious if that improved from your perspective in dealing with people. We'll call it work-life balance for ease, but people's ability to navigate both because, oh, I'm in the same place, I can do a little bit of both, or whether it blurred it so much that neither one was getting proper devotion and it actually worsened things?
It is a fantastic question that the answer is continuing to evolve. And I'll explain what I mean by evolve. Year one, there was no question that people felt their work-life balance was better. The year one of COVID. Kids were home, remember? Schools, everything. Think about year one. We were home, sheltering in place. Work-life balance took off. Why? I wasn't commuting. I wasn't distracted by social events, other business events. I was home with my family. I was figuring out how to work. I was figuring out how to be with the kids. We were taking family walks. We were all together cooking meals. Terrific year one. Year two. Crushing work-life balance problems. The lines, like you just said, the lines were blurred. I'm working constantly. I missed the commute because I could stop working and transition. I could go in. I could say hello. It's a different environment. I had time to decompress. Now there's no decompression. My wife and I are fighting for desk space. I'm in the basement. I'm in the attic. It's a blurred line. Year two is going wild. Year three, the hybrid work started to come back. Oh, now I go in the office one day, I go in the office 2 days. So it started to break down. And now today, the stress level is coming back up because, this is my own particular point of view, the hybrid work environment has created a sense of loneliness and lack of community which is creating its own stress. So people who need people to feel connected are upset they can only come in 2 days a week. People who don't want to come in at all, they're upset. So all of a sudden, we're finding the stress levels are starting to bump up. And I keep going back to my old refrain here is, no matter where you're working from, you still have five slices. If you spend some time in those five slices, this all becomes manageable. Sale, I think it's this thing, the metaphor I use is, you know, you have a brain that's capable of thinking about more than two things, more than work and more than your family. You got to exercise that brain and think about your personal life, your own sense of feeling good, not good, whatever. What is your intellectual curiosity? What's it like today? I mean, most people's levels of curiosity went down working at home. The stimulus just wasn't there. And so I just think we're going to evolve. I don't know where exactly it's going to get to, but by 2025, I have to believe everyone will be in the office 50% of the time. Because people are starting to realize we are communal beings, human beings, like we live in communities. We don't all live alone in the woods. Lack of enough community is stressful. And I think we're going to be heading back in by 25, halftime, because the social cues, onboarding people who are new to careers and so forth, it's hard to do it in people's living rooms. So I just think the whole COVID experience had a curve. It was great and then not so great. And so we'll see what the future is.
Well, I'll have to get you back in 2025 to see the results.
I know. Unbelievable.
Well, Dave, it's really, really interesting, your book and everything you're talking about. And as you're speaking, a couple of the takeaways I get is that it's important to be conscious of the seven domains of your life, as opposed to just thinking about work-life balance. You need to be proactive about it. And also acknowledging that spending time in one of those domains will actually improve your experience in those other domains. So while it might seem like I don't have time for this part, exercise, physical, is probably the easiest example. People will say, well, I actually need that exercise because when I do that 15, 20 minutes of exercise, I'm so much better with my family. I'm so much better at work and with those other domains. So it's not just about appreciating the importance of the seven, but it's appreciating the impact that each one of the seven has on the other six.
Yeah, you put it beautifully. And my only kind of final thought is, we'd like all of us to take a more thoughtful approach to living our lives. Like, just think about it a little bit. And all that the message of the book is, here are five things, five topics, five parts of your own life. Just think about them. What would you like to do with each one of those five? There's benefit in them. How would you like to spend time there?
Well, Dave McNeff, thank you. You can find the Work-Life Balance Myth on Amazon or online. Just type it in, type in Dave McNeff.
And by the way, an idea for our future podcast. So book number two will be coming out at the end of 24, and it's called The Prosperity Treasure Syndrome. How to find your wealth beyond economics. So the 25 areas of your life where you have wealth available to you and how to leverage it, use it to live a more fulfilling life. So I thought that would be a nice follow-up to the myth book. So we'll see what happens.
Well, I would love to have you back to chat about that. Sounds very interesting. Dave McNeff, thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Zale. Appreciate it very much.
And thank you, everybody, for listening to another episode of Preconceived. Have a great day.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.